This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're an arrogant, ingrown, close-knit brotherhood like the Mafia. They're the product of a sick society. To hell with tomorrow. Their bag is today. Their bag is right now.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Oh, the hair on my neck just straight up.
With Ben Higgins.
Thank God all these bottles I popped. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I popped.
Stephen Woods.
It's my job to pull that demon out of Ben Higgins. And I will do it.
And Paul Reindel.
Oh my God.
It's Ben and Woods.
Oh, I do. We see the love thing too.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right for a Thursday, May 23rd. Great to be here with you guys this morning. Doing it a little bit differently today, certainly. I am Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. He is currently on hold with our guest that we are starting the show off with. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. It's I'm a bit flummoxed
right
now. That's not
the usual procedure.
This is not the usual procedure.
But why not? We're going to be off tomorrow, and they've got an early game today, so let's get right to it and welcome in the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Shildt, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. Mike Shildt is with us. Congratulations on the win last night.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning to you. This is usually the time where we are stretching our legs. I was going to tell the story about my wife almost burning the house down last night. That's a true story. And so this is a new one, right? We go right into the hard-hitting interview. First of all, you know, congratulations on the Braves series. Congratulations on the win last night. When your Padres are playing like that, man, they are a tough, tough team to beat, and they are a really fun team to watch.
I don't know what, if anything, I'm going to say is more interesting than your wife burning the house down.
Yeah, give them a story.
I'll tell you the story. So, Skip, we have some baseball gloves in the house that need to be broken in. Now, typically, I would do it, but she got it in. She has a glove. I got a glove. My son, Bo, has a glove. And she goes, I'm reading about breaking these in, and I want to try something. So I'm sure you've heard of the method of putting them in the oven, putting a little lotion on there and putting them in the oven. So she was going to go to work on hers again last night. She had forgotten, though, that she had stored some donuts in the oven, a box full of donuts. So she turns the oven on to crank it up, get it ready to put her glove in, and forgot the donuts. They caught flames. Smoke was billowing out through her house. My six-year-old ran in crying, "Dada, there's a fire." So I ran in. Our house smells like a campfire. We did end up getting it out without needing the assistance of the fire department, but it was a not it was a very eventful night. Meanwhile, your guys are in the background playing very well. So that was our night last night. She almost burned the house down. But the gloves feel great.
Nice and broken in.
They feel nice and broken in and soft and everything else. She was storing the donuts in there also, Skip, to keep me away from them, which is also
smart.
The funny part.
I think it's hilarious. What a great story.
Yeah, it was a good one.
I love your breaking in gloves at your home. It says a lot.
We live it, man. 24 hours a day. My little guy is awesome. 6 years old. He plays his very last T-ball game today. So on to the next level, which is really cool.
I love it.
I'm just glad you guys didn't get struck by lightning in the last inning there. I understand wanting to get that thing in and not have to sit around for 3 hours to get the last out or two, but it looked like it was getting kind of dicey at the end of the game there.
It was absolutely getting dicey, and you want to talk about a slow heartbeat for Robert Suarez. I mean, one of the louder cracks of thunder I've ever heard, with lightning to boot right on top of each other, which obviously, you know, it means it's getting close, right in the middle of his delivery and pitch, and just calmly just throws a 99-mile-an-hour fastball in the butt.
He did not flinch. I watched it.
It's like honking in your back swing.
And he didn't. He'd be a great golfer, man. He could take. I mean, talk about being in the zone. Now, every foul ball they hit, though, Skip, I was like, oh, God, here we go. They're going to. I was up there battling, and I go, they're gonna bang this game with two strikes, just like they did.
Pitch,
I think it was
faster.
In St. Louis a couple weeks ago for 3 hours. It was. Those games got to be nerve wracking for you.
You know, I put the weather out of my mind. Honestly, it's like, you know, I can't come close to controlling it. We'll just play. And Marvin Hudson, the crew chief, came over in between innings of the eighth and told me what was going on. He said, hey, man, we're going to ride this thing out. I said, Marvin, let it ride, bro. Let's play. And, you know, we got through it.
Now, I always see, we're talking to the skipper, Mike Schilt, here on Ben and Woods this morning. So I always see this on, like, people will tweet stuff like, well, it's now an official game. And so how does that work? If the weather team looks at it and says, no, we're not going to be able to play the rest of the night. You've played 8 1/3 innings. Do they just, what are the rules there?
Yeah, you play. I mean, if you're the, we had the lead after the, you know, five, you know, once they hit after the, you know, bottom of the fifth inning, became an official game. So then it's just a matter of, you know, I mean, they'll call it. I mean, you know, have a rain delay, they'll wait and, you know, try to resume play. But if they don't, you know, the win goes to us. You know, if it's tied, you know, it's a different scenario. We gotta, you know, play it out.
How's the weather factoring in today? And how much do you look at that, just knowing sometimes that can affect pitching? If you've got to take a break and a guy's already gotten warm, you can't bring it up. How much do you have to think about that before a game?
I don't know about today. I mean, I'm just walking out, and it's overcast. But, again, I don't put a lot of mental energy into the weather. What you mentioned, though, about the – that is a little bit of a challenge. I don't play weatherman there either, but I do think about it. Like, and that's one of the things that – plays heavily into the decision about whether to start a game or not is your starting pitching. You know, it's like you don't want to, everybody in the league gets it, regardless of home or road. But it's the biggest challenge for people that are in a way different pay grade than I am to have to make that decision. But it's a challenging one because you have the full house at Petco, or the other day in Atlanta on a Saturday night, and there's 40 something thousand people there excited to see a Major League Baseball game. So you want to make sure you take care of them, but you don't want to start a game, especially knowing if there's a doubleheader that's going to compromise your pitching and then burn a starter. So, you know, you just, they make the decision, but I stay out of it. You know, whatever they tell me to do, we do. The bigger challenge, like Ben Fritz, our bullpen coach, was talking last night, like, do you ever think about, like, in the seventh, because it was starting to, you know, drizzle a little bit, and there was some thought about Josh, their clubhouse guy, came in and dugout told me, in the, like, right at the top of the seventh, like, hey, it's coming soon. And do you ever think about, like, using the closer then, right? You know, you got to lead in and just, you know, shutting it down. I don't know. I can't live in that world. Plus, at a big league level, they're going to wait a couple hours. So the legitimacy of it being rained out is probably not very high. But then you play weatherman, and look, man, I got my hands full just managing teams.
I was going to say, there's probably
a lot of variables to it.
There's probably enough to think about without having to plan moves that you don't necessarily have to plan until they happen. But just one of those weird things that when we're watching at home going, man, all right, yeah, I didn't really think about that. And like I said, every time he fouled one off of Suarez, I'm like, oh, boy, just let him get through this thing. Talking to the skipper, Mike Schild, here on Ben and Woods, I thought Michael King did really well last night. I mean, the pitch that Candelario hit for a home run, that ball moved. I mean, you can see it on TV. It moved 2 feet. It just moved right down the middle. I thought he did a great job. I wanted to ask you, though, because they showed it on TV. When you went out to get him last night, was he mad that you took him out?
Michael's a competitor, man. He wants to pitch. So I don't know. I mean, look, I have no issue with a guy that has some level of frustration coming out of a ball game.
Yeah, I figured.
I don't, I really don't. It doesn't bother me at all. It used to, earlier in my career, like I'd take it personally, and then I'd like, no, I would wait. And this was, 15 years ago. I was like, heck no, man. I'd way rather prefer even come in the dugout. You got a problem with it? I got no issue. I want guys that want to stay in the game that like to compete. It's way better than going out and a guy looking over at you. During the inning going, hey, man,
whenever you're
what
ready.
You think, man? What are you thinking out there? How's that bullpen doing? I got ready yet? I mean, I'm at a disengagement. So we're at a trip. So like, come. Nah, man, that ain't it. So I don't know. I mean, Michael was, competing his tail off, and he knew that he wanted to go deep in the game to do the best he could to save our bullpen. And he was able to accomplish that. He did his part, and then it was time for Wander to do his part, which he did.
I figured as much. I really did. When I saw him walk off, I went, oh, all right. I didn't want to come out. I love it. I love it, too.
Talking to the skipper, Mike Schild, here. It's our manager's report, a special four-play edition. And obviously, tough news about Xander Bogaerts yesterday. And I know it's a next-man-up mentality, and you've got some depth now with Arise and Solano and calling up Peralta yesterday. But as the manager, is there a mental component as well to make sure your guys don't take bad news to heart and let it affect the team when something like that happens?
Yeah, it's part of the job. I mean, listen, we're going to miss the heck out of Xander. We're going to support him clearly. We're going to be there for him through his journey back. We're still trying to gather information to see how long that's going to take. But I'm not a blind optimist, but an optimist to think he'll heal quickly. And I know Bogey takes care of himself really well, which will be a factor in his rehab. So we're going to miss him. The guys are going to clearly miss him. The one thing about baseball is that, there's a lot of resiliency to it. You play every day, things happen. Players get used to, transition and on rosters and, moves. And so it really is that next man up mentality. And, we're going to figure out a way to continue to play good baseball and, win games. That's what this group's about. So we'll miss him, and like I said, we'll support him, and we'll find the combination today that allows us to go compete.
Well, I'll tell you, talking to Mike Schild here on Ben and Woods this morning, watching the pregame again. This is all on television. You couldn't see it, or you were in the dugout. But Peralta comes in, and his pregame interview when he talked about his journey and struggle to get back in the big leagues almost brought me to tears. He got choked up talking about it too. And then to see him in the dugout last night, a literal Padre killer over the years, Mike, pumping guys up, really fired up to be there, ended up getting an RBI last night. It's so nice to see guys like him and Arise come in and contribute right away, number one. But the attitude that they've brought, they look and feel like they've been Padres for a while. And, Peralta just got there yesterday. That was pretty refreshing to see. It's got to be that for you and AJ as well, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, nice, super refreshing. Another good quality veteran, been there, hungry still, experienced player. And, they come from different places, but they all bring the same in mindset, and that's say I'm here to win baseball games. Ryan's still younger in his career, but has the heart of a champion, and
Solano I've known, you know, since his rookie ball days when he was 16. And just a pro's pro. And Peralta I've known since he was a pitcher rehabbing, you know, 100 years ago in his early career. And I know his journey and his heart for the game and his desire to compete. So, you know, we're excited to have him. And David's a really enthusiastic guy, and I love the enthusiasm he's going to bring to this club.
I'm curious if you have any thoughts on your team's struggles against left-handed pitching recently. I mean, you had the great win against Max Fried, who's been unbelievable, but then the other, I think, four recent starts against lefties, not scoring any runs. You guys normally mash lefties. Is there anything like you're seeing there?
I think it's a combination of things. You're right. I mean, I like to bet on our club, and it's, you know, individual performances against lefties. Fact of the matter is it hasn't been as good as those histories, you know, dictate. But, you know, and we've also faced some tough lefties, faced some tough righties. I mean, it's the big leagues. You're going to face tough pitching. So no alibis here, but we can't ignore the fact that, you know, facing guys like Lodolo and Suarez and, you know, Abbott was good the other day. And Sale, of course, is no walk in the park. But, yeah, we clearly are aware of it, and I do think it'll normalize.
All right, well, I know you got a game to get ready to. We appreciate you joining us early this morning. Hopefully another series win. I think that would make it 6 out of 7 today, and then a safe trip back to Petco Park to face the Yankees this weekend. We'll see you out at the ball yard, Skip.
Yeah, looking forward to today, looking forward to the weekend, and, you know, hope the microwave's okay.
Microwave's fine. We need a new oven, but the microwave actually made it. There's thanks
Mike,
so much.
Mike Schilt, manager of the San Diego Padres, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. He was very interested in your oven story.
You know, if I had come on the radio this morning and said, take a guess who hid donuts in the oven, then went to break in their baseball glove, turned on the oven and forgot the donuts were in there. Who would you guess it would be? It would not be my wife. It would be me. Clearly, I
no.
Hid.
If I'm putting odds, you're like -1700.
Correct.
And they're all like +2000.
Everybody else, yeah. But it was her, and you know, Bo running in the middle of the game. Dad, there's a fire. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Now you're trying to wonder: is he now serious, or is he mistaking something for a fire? No.
I can't even impart to you how much smoke filled our home. By the way, not one smoke alarm went off. Not one. So the very cool. We have a lot of work to
test
do.
Test those batteries. You got to test those batteries.
It's very. I have two small children at home, and I'm like, oh my Lord. So we got to get that fixed. We got to get a couple of fire extinguishers because, you know, I don't know anything about fires. I've seen Backdraft. I don't know what happens when you open the oven. Is it going to go and burn my wife to a crisp? I have no idea. None. So it was a bit. It was way more of an exciting Wednesday night than I wanted, to be honest. I just wanted to watch the game.
People want to know why the donuts were in the oven.
She was
there to
them.
Be hidden from you.
She had an open house, and at her open house, she had VG's donuts there. And she brought this box home, smuggled it in, maybe in her jacket, because I didn't see her bring them in. Hid them in the oven. Turn the oven on so she could bake her gloves and just forgot the donuts were in there. And I'm like, very cool. And so now my house smells like a bonfire. It's all I can smell. Though, by the way, last night we had to sleep with our windows open. Guess what else happened? Skunk sprayed our yard. So we had skunk and bonfire permeating the house. Let's put it this way. I'm not super mad that I'm getting in the car and leaving for Joshua Tree in about 3 hours. So... very exciting night at the Woods household. But yeah, who else is going to hide donuts, bake their glove, and almost burn the house down? Wouldn't be me, right?
We're going to come back, take our first break, maybe a little more foreplay, and set the menu for the show. I do have to shout out Ray in our chat, who just made me laugh. Says, condolences to your air fryer. Just appliances. You know, Mike Schilt said microwave. You said oven. Now it's air fryer. I thought that was funny.
Get it.
He didn't get it. All right. Just me.
Good job, Ray.
Yep, you made me laugh. All right, we'll come back. It is the final show of the week, and it's a short one as well. getting ready for Padres baseball this morning. Vicky Peppers got a check of traffic here in for Kelly on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Our thanks to the manager, Mike Schilt, joining us both a day and about 3 hours early as the Padres get ready to wrap up their series and road trip against the Cincinnati Reds at 10:10 this morning. That means a 9:10 EcoWater SoCal pregame show for Sam Levitt and a bit of a shorter show for Ben and Woods today. So we got a lot to get to and not as much time to get to it. Obviously, we will wrap up the Padres 7-3 win from last night, give you some of our thoughts, the ones we haven't already covered with the skipper in our first segment of the day coming up. We've got a game of Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday at 7 o'clock, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. And Paulie's had some fun with the audio that we played yesterday in our 8 o'clock segment, the Rent-A-Friend video. I have not heard this yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
So I'm at home yesterday, and I'm unloading my car after a grueling day here at the office, right? And I'm just grabbing my backpack and my water jug, and my neighbor Ron drives up. Loves the show, huge tier one, rolls his window down, and all he says is, "Do you want to be my friend?" And then drives off. And I go, all right, well, that clearly worked today. That bit yesterday was insane. I mean, it's just the most insane. I'm going to spend a lot of my weekend watching it as well. The VHS Rent-A-Friend. So Paulie has done some magic. Can't wait to hear this.
We've got Don't Do This at 7:20. Obviously, we'll be talking more about the injury to Xander Bogaerts and how the Padres are going to have to get by for 2 to 3 months. And while I know the initial thought, if you're a Padres fan, a frustrated Padres fan at times, is, yeah, well, it's too bad. Xander, who's been struggling badly, is out. Are they even going to miss him? At some point, they will absolutely miss Xander Bogaerts. He was going to get hot, and now he can't get hot because he's going to be out for 2 to 3 months.
It's a classic reminder of be careful what you wish for. You know, honestly, it's be careful what you wish for. And Xander had been scalding the ball recently. You felt like he was going to be coming out of it soon. And now, you know, 2 months is it's not great, man. It's not great at all when you lose a guy like that from your club. Now, luckily, they do have some depth, but now that depth is going to get tested. And now guess what? Now you need more depth. You know, so when one guy goes down, the ripple effect can be pretty gnarly.
I mean, there is the silver lining is you can probably just pencil in Luis Arraez now at second base,
yeah,
and let him be comfortable knowing when he shows up to the ballpark, He's not going to be bouncing between DH and different positions. He'll just be out there at second base until Xander is back. And you still have Donovan Solano as a veteran backup.
You get the sense, too, Luis Arraez likes playing second base.
You do.
I mean, you really do. He's an energetic guy, and I think he'd probably rather do that anyway.
Yeah, he's not a plus defender. Xander's a better defender.
He looks fine.
But I think having him out there on a regular basis, he's made some nice plays the last couple of days.
Yep.
So he'll be out there consistently, which is maybe a good thing, at least short term. Long term, though, Padres will miss Xander Bogaerts, and they needed him to get going, and that's just going to be harder to do now, not knowing when he is going to be able to return. People were asking me, why did the initial imaging not come back? They took x-rays the first day. What's going on? Why did it take another day? And all I can say is that is not uncommon, that the initial round of imaging doesn't always reveal the extent of injuries. Xander said, I heard a crack when I landed. I mean, I don't think he was that surprised that eventually it showed up on the MRI that there was a fracture in the shoulder. Now the hope is simply that there's no labrum damage. There's nothing that's going to require surgery. It's simply something that needs time to heal. But after the time is up, should be back to 100%. So that's the cross your fingers, and they have more scans, and he's going to get another opinion from another doctor. Obviously, there's no hurry unless he does need surgery to get anything done, because it's probably just rest and recuperation for the next couple of months before Xander can start rehabbing.
Yeah, let's talk more today about some of those options that they may have, and you know, it's already going crazy in the chat of what I would do if I was the manager, what you would do if you were the manager, where you would move guys. I did see somebody said that Crony was taking grounders at second. I don't think that's really uncommon. I see guys doing that all the time. Fernando still takes grounders at short. So, I mean, it's you never know.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But that's it's certainly an option that you have. And you've got versatile players that can move around positions. But that's a big topic for the Padres going forward. 8 o'clock hour is our Smart Baseball segment with Eno Saris at 8:35. And then we turn things over again to Sam and Padres Baseball just after 9 o'clock this morning as the Padres go for another series win and another successful winning road trip if they can get the victory today against the Reds with Matt Waldron on the bump against Frankie Montas in the series finale. So we'll start things out with our Padres wrap-up, get the highlights of last night's 7-3 win over the Reds, and discuss the matchup, Michael King, the offense getting going just like they needed to yesterday. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So I've had a number of people express disappointment in the fact that we don't have a round table today. They're going, what?
I was one of them.
No round table.
Yeah, I was one of them.
You were.
Expressed disappointment.
But.
Because you would have been gone.
The reason.
No, because I want to do it.
Yeah. The reason for no round table is that there is an actual game. You know, the round tables are designed to kind of augment the games and supplement the time between the games. But the games are really the focus. This is like an upgrade from the round table to an actual.
Massively.
An actual baseball game.
I mean, we have a lot of off days on Thursdays.
If you wanted us to cancel the game and bring you a round table instead, I feel like there are people who would rather have a round table than a game. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I'm one of them.
Now, what about a four-game series at home, say, that starts on Thursday?
Okay.
6:40 start.
Right.
We're doing a round table those mornings, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's not just for off days.
Right.
This is just happens to be a game that coincides with the time we usually do the round table. So we will be back next week with a round table, but this week we are all off. And
do the round table still at 10 o'clock, but just patch Jesse and Tony in. They can be part of the round table, and they'll just call the game as well.
Play-by-play and round table at the same time.
Jose said we could have done a round table at 8 a.m. Yeah, we could have. I'm down. Get Craig, Annie.
Call everybody up.
Get them in here. I'll round table.
Send up the bat signal for the round table and see who shows up at 8 a.m.
I will round table my ass off at 8 a.m. this morning.
Round table so hard.
Okay. A round table like a madman.
Make sure we call round table pizza so they know they got to start put those pizzas in the oven early.
Let's get it going.
Make sure there's no boxes left in the ovens when they turn them on.
Oh, my God.
Learn that can be a problem as well.
Yeah.
So.
Jose is disappointed. He said we could have done this at 8. I agree. We should actually do it at 8 every Thursday, if I'm being totally honest with you, Jose. So, but that's fine. But not today. I'm excited to drive out to the desert and listen to Tony and Jesse and Sammy on the way out. The pregame. I never get to hear any of this stuff, so I'm excited about it.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You're just going to enjoy next week's roundtable that much more.
100%.
Because we didn't have one today. All right, let's check traffic with Vicky, and then we will come back with the highlights. Our Padres wrap-up of last night's win over the Reds coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Here's the 3-2. Martinez deals a rise, hits it in the air, deep down the right field line. This one way back, gonna go! Lead off home run, Luis Arraez. His first as a Padre, and a 1-0 lead here in the first.
Sometimes you mess around and you find out. Nick Martinez tried to sneak the heater in under his hands, and he found out the hard way.
Here's Candelario, first pitch swinging. Sends one in the air to deep right center field and gone. A home run just over the yellow line in the right center field gap. Candelario hits his fifth of the year. And now a 1-1 game in the bottom of the first. Second at bat is a Padre for Peralta. Struck out in the second inning. First pitch coming in, a ground ball to the right side. India was shallow. He's coming home. The throw and the tag. Not in time. Profar scores. And the Padres back in front 2-1. Two on and one out. The 1-0 pitch hit hard on the ground through the right side base hit. Campusano's going to be waved at third. On his way. The throw goes into second. And they got it out there. The run scores, obviously. It's out number two. And the Padre lead is now 3-1. As Wade was tied up at second base, and Martini threw behind him, kind of an awkward collision with Ellie De La Cruz, who was able to tag him out. So an RBI single for Fernando, though the Reds get an out on the play. And Profar swings at the first pitch, trying to find a gap in left center. He does. It's going to roll all the way to the track. Racing around third comes Tatis. He'll score. An RBI double for Jurickson Profar. And the Padre lead is 4-1. A little school outside of Boston called Harvard University. Here's a line drive base hit into left center. Profar will round third and score easily. An RBI single for Jake Cronenworth. And now a 5-1 Padre lead in the fifth. 1-2, reach for, bounce to first base. Steer backs up on it as it go off the glove and into right field. Azokar going to come in and score. And the Padre lead is now 6-1 after some shaky defense over at first base. So Wade at second, the 2-0 to Arraez is lined into right field. Martini charging, plays it on a hop. Wade racing around third. Here's the throw and the tag, not in time. Arraez goes up to second base behind the throw. An RBI single and a 7-1 Padre lead. Candelario at first, Hurtubise at second, two down. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Line drive into left center. Azokar over into the gap. Tries to play it on a hop. Gets behind him. Rolls all the way to the base of the wall. Hurtubise has scored. Candelario is on his way. A 2-run double for Tyler Stevenson. And the Padre lead is now 7-3. 2-2 again. Here's the pitch from Suarez. Martini swings and misses strike three. And the ball game is over. Get off the field, get dry. Padres with a 7-3 win over the Reds, and we'll have ourselves a rubber game here tomorrow afternoon. Luis Arraez, a leadoff home run in the first inning, his first homer as a Padre, and the offense was on here tonight.
Michael was great. Good tempo, throwing strikes both sides of the plate, breaking balls good. Everything was really good. Longer delay, no excuse to get into that last inning, and just wasn't able to make some pitches there in the sixth, but went out there and grabbed 2007, which is big with our bullpen. And Waddy did a nice job to close that inning out and get that double play ball to get the eighth. And of course, Suarez brought it home and made sure we stayed dry.
Four more hits for Luis Arraez as the Padres beat the Reds 7-3, ending the two-game losing and scoreless streak and doing it quickly. On the first batter of the game on the solo home run, his first home run of the season, first home run as a member of the San Diego Padres. You know, Woods, Luis Arraez was hitting .299, which is good,
yeah,
when he was acquired by the Padres. He had gotten off to a bit of a slow start, was just starting to heat up a little bit. Since joining the Padres, though, Arraez is batting .391 and has increased his batting average to .330, which puts him in the top five now in the National League, behind leader Shohei Ohtani, who's in like the .350s, Jesus. And then Jurickson Profar is second still in the National League. But Luis Arraez is definitely closing fast and in the conversation for a third consecutive batting title, which is very Tony Gwynn-like to do something like that.
Sure is a fun AB to watch every single time. Appointment viewing for, as I've said, a quote-unquote slappy singles hitter. Appointment. Like, he's up, I gotta run, I gotta watch this AB. I have to see him. 0-2, he worked that count, Benny. Worked it full, hit the bomb. So awesome, dude. So awesome. I mean, if you're Nick Martinez, you're like, eh. Cool. First one of the year, and it's off me against my old team. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant AB, and he turned in, what, four of them last night. He's a really good hitter.
I saw it on Twitter, so I didn't verify it. I assume it's accurate.
If it's on Twitter, it's true.
The Luis Arraez, in his career, in his nearly 3,000 plate appearances, has taken a called strike three once.
What? That can't
Once.
Be. That can't be.
Now, he's struck out
sure,
more. He swung and missed, as
that
they all do.
Be.
He does it less than just about anybody else in baseball. But in 3,000 times at the plate in his career, he has taken a called strike three once. If he swings, he usually makes contact. And if it's close to the plate, he's usually swinging. Now, he'll take a walk or two, but you have to miss by, you know, a couple of inches. You know, he'll take some early pitches, but once you get to two strikes, he will protect that plate hard.
I was going to say.
He's not going to go down on one that's, the umpire's not going to ring him up on a pitch that's an inch or two outside. He's just going to slap it foul, probably the other way, and make contact because he has such great fast hands and such great hand-eye coordination that it doesn't matter if the pitch is low or a little outside.
Or in.
He's going to get a piece of it if he swings.
The 0-2 pitch that Martinez threw him actually nicked the zone. That would have been his second strikeout looking in his career, 3,000
apparently, practices. Yes.
But it nicked the zone, and Nick didn't get the call, and that was ball one. And next thing you know, works it full and hits a home run to start the game. It was fantastic. But obviously, Getting contributions up and down the lineup is never going to be a bad thing. Ever, ever, ever. And you got them from your big guys, which we were so desperately clamoring for yesterday. Manny, Knox, Tatis, RBI, Profar, you know, those guys, everyone contributed last night in some way, shape, or form. Michael King, again, though, set the tone. 3 earned runs, 6 2/3. Ball was moving, striking out guys, couple walks, but really, you know, competed hard last night. So really, excellent win for the San Diego Padres last night. As is life and baseball, great. Do it again today. Win the series. Because I'll tell you, they're coming home. They have not played well at home. They're running into a pretty gnarly Yankees team. And then, did you see this? That the Marlins have lined up 3 lefties to face the San Diego Padres when they are in town.
Well, the book is out.
So the book is out. And that, maybe that's just how it all fell. But they're going to end up facing 3 tough lefties from the Marlins as well. Lazardo was
great last night.
He went
eight shutout innings. I think the other two have not gotten off to good starts.
But they're left-handed pitchers.
But they're left-handed. And we talked to Mike Shild about that already this morning. And he's confident that, you know, that they'll be fine. These guys hit lefties really, really well.
Yeah.
Nothing specifically that he's going like, well, we need to do this or that against left-handers. I mean, if they're hitting righties, there's no reason why they shouldn't be hitting lefties. They are good right-handed hitters. It's generally easier to hit left-handers. They proved that in their career.
One would think, yeah, the track record speaks pretty loudly for all of those guys against left-handed pitching. It just hasn't materialized yet. So, not gonna panic about it. You're gonna get three opportunities at least against the Marlins. And I don't know what the Yankees are running out. I'm sure you'll see. Do they have the lineup?
I think
Nestor,
I looked at it yesterday. I think it's Rodon, Stroman, and Clark Schmidt.
Lefty, righty, righty. Okay, so yeah, you'll get your opportunity with four lefties in six games. So, you got to figure it out. You got to figure out a way to mash those guys.
Speaking of lefties, Wandy Peralta also coming in with an inning and a third, and then Robert Suarez in the last inning. The Padres bullpen, which had some shaky moments, let's be honest, earlier in the season. Lately, two weeks or so, have been fantastic.
Outstanding.
Top to bottom, up and down.
Yeah.
The first guy, the last guy.
What's their streak at now?
Everybody, they've given up, one run in the last 20 innings or so?
Yeah, it's really good.
And Robert Suarez obviously hasn't given up a single run. He stretched his streak to close to 20 innings, I think, yesterday as well, with his shutout frame, lowering his ERA to 0.42 this season.
Still can't.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I still can't get over that last night, that moment when the lightning struck and he didn't even flinch. I'm like, how does that happen? Like, it's human nature. Talk about being in a zone. Oh my God. I was like, that was loud. I mean, Mutt and Don like yelped. It was nasty. Did you see that lightning meter they had? I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, with the
that
different lights awesome. And everything.
It was cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, Midwestern things that I didn't even know existed.
Don't really need it here. it was a great win last
night. It's like a traffic light. But the red, and then there's yellow, and then there's like a blue and a green, and shows you how close the lightning actually is. I had no idea that such a thing existed.
I had no idea.
The fact that Mike Schilt got David Peralta into the lineup in his first game, and he contributed with an RBI ground out with first and third. Nice slide and play by Jurickson Profar to score on that play. That contributed to the lead in the fourth inning. And then, of course, Padres scored three in the fifth. The way that they generally put together the big innings, kind of the same. It's usually a lot of singles, maybe one double when they put those multi-run crooked numbers, as Mudd likes to call them, innings together. A lot of BABIP, line drives. That's the way they've scored big innings. I don't know the number, but it's not like they had a couple grand slams, but mostly it hasn't been like three-run homers. It's been five singles all strung together at the right time that produces the most big innings for the Padres this season.
You got a little lucky, too, which evened out. Same play that Crony biffed the night before. Their first baseman biffed last night, went over his head, and scored another run there. They added on. They did everything they needed to do. And then, like you said, the bullpen came in and locked it down. And that's the recipe for success for any baseball team, but especially the San Diego Padres of ours.
All right, Paulie's got a little audio treat for us coming up next, following up from our Rent-A-Friend segment yesterday. Yeah. And then we'll play some real or fake, a chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas coming up in our next segment. Lots to get to, not a lot of time. It's Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. So I've had a number of people express disappointment in the fact that we don't have a round table today. They're going, what?
I was one of them.
No round table.
Yeah, I was one of them.
You were.
Expressed disappointment.
But
because you would have been gone.
The reason.
No, because I want to do it.
Yeah. The reason for no roundtable is that there is an actual game. You know, the roundtables are designed to kind of augment the games and supplement the time between the games, but the games are really the focus. This is like an upgrade from the roundtable to an actual.
Massively.
An actual baseball game.
I mean, we have a lot of off days on Thursdays.
If you wanted us to cancel the game and bring you a roundtable instead, I feel like there are people who would rather have a roundtable than a game, and that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm one of them.
Now, what about a four-game series at home, say, that starts on Thursday?
Okay.
6:40 start.
Right.
We're doing a round table those mornings, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's not just for off days.
Right.
This is just happens to be a game that coincides with the time we usually do the round table. So we will be back next week with a round table. But this week, we are all off. And you,
what
will
you
get
guys
to
do the round table still at 10 o'clock, but just patch Jesse and Tony in. They can be, ooh, part of the round table, and they'll just call the game as well.
Play-by-play and round table at the same time.
Jose said we could have done a round table at 8 a.m. Yeah, we could have. I'm down. Craig, get Craig, Annie.
Call everybody up.
Call everybody up. Get them in here. I'll round table.
Send up the bat signal for the round table and see who shows up at 8 a.m.
I will round table my ass off at 8 a.m. this morning.
Round table so hard.
Okay. A round table like a madman.
Make sure we call round table pizza so they know they got to start put those pizzas
get
in the oven early.
Let's get it going.
Make sure there's no boxes left in the ovens when they turn them on.
Oh, my God.
Learned that that can be a problem as well.
Yeah,
so.
Jose's disappointed. He said we could have done this at 8. I agree. We should actually do it at 8 every Thursday, if I'm being totally honest with you, Jose. So, but that's fine. But not today. I'm excited to drive out to the desert and listen to Tony and Jesse and Sammy on the way out. The pregame. I never get to hear any of this stuff. So excited about it.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You're just going to enjoy next week's roundtable that much more.
100%.
Because we didn't have one today. All right, let's check traffic with Vicky, and then we will come back with the highlights, our Padres wrap-up of last night's win over the Reds, coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Here's the 3-2. Martinez deals, arise, hits it in the air, deep down the right field line. This one way back, gonna go! Lead off home run, Luis Arise. His first as a Padre, and a 1-0 lead here in the first.
Sometimes you mess around and you find out. Nick Martinez tried to sneak the heater in under his hands, and he found out the hard way.
Here's Candelario, first pitch swinging, sends one in the air to deep right center field, and gone. A home run just over the yellow line in the right center field gap. Candelario hits his fifth of the year. And now a 1-1 game in the bottom of the first. Second at bat is a Padre for Peralta. Struck out in the second inning. First pitch coming in, a ground ball to the right side. India was shallow. He's coming home. The throw in the tag. Not in time. Profar scores. And the Padres back in front 2-1. Two on and one out. The 1-0 pitch hit hard on the ground. Through the right side base hit. Campuzano's going to be waved at third. On his way. The throw goes into second. And they got it out there. The run scores, obviously. It's out number two. And the Padre lead is now 3-1. As Wade was tied up at second base, and Martini threw behind him, kind of an awkward collision with Ellie De La Cruz, who was able to tag him out. So an RBI single for Fernando, though the Reds get an out on the play. And Profar swings at the first pitch, trying to find a gap in left center. He does. It's going to roll all the way to the track. Racing around third comes Tatis. He'll score. An RBI double for Jurickson Profar. And the Padre lead is 4-1. A little school outside of Boston called Harvard University. Here's a line drive base hit into left center. Profar will round third and score easily. An RBI single for Jake Cronenworth. And now a 5-1 Padre lead in the fifth. 1-2, reach for, bounce to first base. Steer backs up on it as it go off the glove and into right field. Azokar going to come in and score. And the Padre lead is now 6-1 after some shaky defense over at first base. So Wade at second. The 2-0 to Arise is lined into right field. Martini charging, plays it on a hop. Wade racing around third. Here's the throw and the tag. Not in time. Arise goes up to second base behind the throw. An RBI single and a 7-1 Padre lead. Candelario at first. Hurtubise at second. Two down. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Line drive into left center. Azokar over into the gap. Tries to play it on a hop. Gets behind him. Rolls all the way to the base of the wall. Hurtubise has scored. Candelario is on his way. A 2-run double for Tyler Stevenson. And the Padre lead is now 7-3. 2-2 again. Here's the pitch from Suarez. Martini swings and misses strike 3. And the ball game is over. get off the field, get dry. Padres with a 7-3 win over the Reds, and we'll have ourselves a rubber game here tomorrow afternoon. Luis Arraez, a leadoff home run in the first inning, his first homer as a Padre, and the offense was on here tonight.
Michael was great. Good tempo, throwing strikes, both sides of the plate, breaking balls good. Everything was really good. You know, longer delay, no excuse to get into that last inning, and just wasn't able to make some pitches there in the sixth, but went out there and grabbed 2 outs in the 7th, which is big with our bullpen, and Waddy did a nice job to close that inning out and get that double play ball to get the 8th, and of course Suarez brought it home and made sure we stayed dry.
4 more hits for Luis Arraez as the Padres beat the Reds 7-3, ending the 2-game losing and scoreless streak and doing it quickly. On the first batter of the game on the solo home run, his first home run of the season, first home run as a member of the San Diego Padres. You know, Woods, Luis Arraez was hitting .299, which is good,
yeah,
when he was acquired by the Padres. He had gotten off to a bit of a slow start, was just starting to heat up a little bit. Since joining the Padres, though, Arraez is batting .391 and has increased his batting average to .330, which puts him in the top 5 now in the National League, behind leader Shohei Ohtani, who's in like the .350s, Jesus. And then Jurickson Profar is second still in the National League. But Luis Arraez is definitely closing fast and in the conversation for a third consecutive batting title, which is very Tony Gwynn-like to sure, do something like that.
Sure is a fun AB to watch every single time. Appointment viewing for, as I've said, a quote-unquote slappy singles hitter. Appointment. Like, he's up, I got to run, I got to watch this AB. I have to see him. 0-2, he worked that count, Benny. Worked it full, hit the bomb. So awesome, dude. So awesome. I mean, if you're Nick Martinez, you're like, eh. Cool. First one of the year, and it's off me against my old team. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant AB, and he turned in, what, 4 of them last night. He's a really good hitter.
I saw it on Twitter, so I didn't verify it. I assume it's accurate.
If it's on Twitter, it's true.
The Luis Arraez in his career, in his nearly 3,000 plate appearances, has taken a called strike 3 once.
What? That can't
Once.
Be. That can't be.
Now, he's struck out
sure,
more. He
yeah.
swung and missed, as
that
they all do.
Be.
He does it less than just about anybody else in baseball. But in 3,000 times at the plate in his career, he has taken a called strike 3 once. If he swings, he usually makes contact. And if it's close to the plate, he's usually swinging. Now, he'll take a walk or two, but you have to miss by, you know, a couple of inches. You know, he'll take some early pitches, but once you get to 2 strikes, he will protect that plate hard.
I was going to say.
He's not going to go down on one that's, the umpire's not going to ring him up on a pitch that's an inch or two outside. He's just going to slap it foul, probably the other way, and make contact because he has such great fast hands and such great hand-eye coordination that it doesn't matter if the pitch is low or a little outside.
Or in.
He's going to get a piece of it if he swings.
The 0-2 pitch that Martinez threw him actually nicked the zone. That would have been his second strikeout looking in his career, 3,000
bats. Apparently, yes.
But it nicked the zone, and Nick didn't get the call, and that was ball one. And next thing you know, works it full and hits a home run to start the game. It was fantastic. But obviously, Getting contributions up and down the lineup is never going to be a bad thing. Ever, ever, ever. And you got them from your big guys, which we were so desperately clamoring for yesterday. Manny, Knox, Tatis, RBI, Profar, you know, those guys, everyone contributed last night in some way, shape, or form. Michael King, again, though, set the tone. 3 earned runs, 6 2/3. Ball was moving, striking out guys, couple walks, but really, you know, competed hard last night. So really, excellent win for the San Diego Padres last night. As is life and baseball, great. Do it again today. Win the series. Because I'll tell you, they're coming home. They have not played well at home. They're running into a pretty gnarly Yankees team. And then, did you see this? that the Marlins have lined up three lefties to face the San Diego Padres when they are in town.
The book is out.
So the book is out, and that maybe that's just how the how it all fell. But they're going to end up facing three tough lefties from the Marlins as well. Lizardo was
great last night.
Eight shutout innings.
I think the other two have not gotten off to good starts.
But they're left-handed pitchers.
And we talked to Mike Shild about that already this morning, and he's confident that, you know, that they'll be fine. These guys hit lefties really, really well.
Yeah.
Nothing specifically that he's going like, well, we need to do this or that against left-handers. I mean, if they're hitting righties, there's no reason why they shouldn't be hitting lefties. They are good right-handed hitters. It's generally easier to hit left-handers. They prove that in their career.
One would think, yeah, the track record speaks pretty loudly for all of those guys against left-handed pitching. It just hasn't materialized yet. So, not gonna panic about it. You're gonna get three opportunities at least against the Marlins. And I don't know what the Yankees are running out. I'm sure you'll see. Do they have the lineup set?
I looked at it yesterday. I think it's Rodon, Stroman, and Clark Schmidt.
Lefty, righty, righty. Okay, so yeah, you'll get your opportunity with four lefties in six games. So, you got to figure it out. You got to figure out a way to mash those guys.
Speaking of lefties, Wandy Peralta also coming in with an inning and a third, and then Robert Suarez in the last inning. The Padres bullpen, which had some shaky moments, let's be honest, earlier in the season. Lately, two weeks or so, have been fantastic.
Outstanding.
Top to bottom, up and down.
Yeah.
The first guy, the last guy.
What's their streak at now?
Everybody. They've given up, one run in the last 20 innings or so?
Yeah, it's really good.
And Robert Suarez obviously hasn't given up a single run. He stretched his streak to close to 20 innings, I think, yesterday as well, with his shutout frame, lowering his ERA to 0.42 this season.
Still can't.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I still can't get over that last night, that moment when the lightning struck and he didn't even flinch. I'm like, how does that happen? Like, it's human nature. Talk about being in a zone. Oh my God. I was like, that was loud. I mean, Mutt and Don like yelped. I mean, it was nasty. Did you see that lightning meter they had? I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, with the different lights and everything.
It was cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, Midwestern things that I didn't even know existed.
Don't really need it here. but no, it was a great win last night.
It's like a traffic light. But the red, and then there's yellow, and then there's like a blue and a green, and shows you how close the lightning actually is. I had no idea that such a thing existed.
I had no idea.
The fact that Mike Shildt got David Peralta into the lineup in his first game, and he contributed with an RBI ground out with first and third. Nice slide and play by Jurickson Profar to score on that play. That contributed to the lead in the fourth inning. And then, of course, Padres scored three in the fifth. The way that they generally put together the big innings, kind of the same. It's usually a lot of singles, maybe one double when they put those multi-run crooked numbers, as Mudd likes to call them, innings together. A lot of BABIP, you know, line drives. That's the way they've scored big innings. I don't know the number, but it's not like they had a couple grand slams, but mostly it hasn't been like three-run homers. It's been five singles all strung together at the right time that produces the most big innings for the Padres this season.
You got a little lucky, too, which evened out. You know, same play that Crony biffed the night before. Their first baseman biffed last night, went over his head, and scored another run there. They added on. They did everything they needed to do. And then, like you said, the bullpen came in and locked it down. And that's the recipe for success for any baseball team, but especially the San Diego Padres of ours.
All right, Paulie's got a little audio treat for us coming up next, following up from our Rent-A-Friend segment yesterday.
Yeah.
And then we'll play some real or fake, a chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas coming up in our next segment. Lots to get to, not a lot of time. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.